As we consider the subject of the message this morning, growing older is indeed a challenge. We can remember that age-old quote, "You're only as old as you feel." Is that a fair statement? Is that true? Can you really be 84 and think you're 20? Just a thought. Maybe these statements are more indicative of what it means to be growing older. You know you're old when the candles cost more than the cake. This is when I like to look at particular people. No. You know you're old when you hear your favorite songs in the elevator. You know you're old when people no longer view you as a hypochondriac. A hypochondriac thinks they're sick all the time. When you're old, you might think you have problems all the time, in case you didn't get that one. You know you're old when you try to straighten the wrinkles in your socks and you find you aren't wearing socks. And then my personal favorite, you know you're old when you sit down in a rocking chair and you can't get it started. Have you realized that your perspective of growing older changes as you grow old yourself? I should have just thought about what Jocelyn was going to say about her aging body at the age of 31 or 32 or, I know that when I first arrived at St. John's in the fall of 1985, at the young age of 24, I was an intern here. And I thought there were plenty of old people in the congregation, and many of you are still alive today. Perspective. I thought old was 40. Anybody here going to admit that they're 40? That was old in the mind of a 24-year-old. So it changes, and certainly now that I'm a little bit older than that, I've made it past 40, old age is coming. How many teenagers believe that their parents are too old to understand them? No one's going to admit to that, I hope. They looked at each other. Growing older happens to all of us. It's just a different perspective of what generation we are. Growing older is a natural process. Though the list of anti-aging moisturizers, medicines, supplements, therapies, diets, and exercise routines and are endless, trying to stop that aging process or slow it down, it's a natural process that just occurs. God knows the days and God knows the years of each of our lives. Psalm 139:16, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." The Lord knows each and every day of each and every one of us. So I want to offer encouragement and perspective for everyone who is growing older. 2 Corinthians 4:16, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." As I said a few times over the years, when the Bible uses the word "therefore," what you're about to read is a conclusion of what has been shared before. So as we look at verses 16 through 18, we have to go back and look at verses 1 through 15 and see what was Paul saying that he can conclude "therefore." Paul refuses to grow discouraged. No matter what he is experiencing, no matter what age he is at, he refuses to grow discouraged. And because of that, he writes verses 16 through 18. But looking back at those first 15 verses, in verse 1, Paul acknowledges that he can only engage in his missionary ministry because of God's mercy working in his life. It's God's mercy present And so Paul does not lose heart. He doesn't give up. In verse 14, Paul shares his assurance in believers sharing in Christ's triumphant resurrection from the dead. Paul knows in faith, because of his faith in Jesus Christ, he knows that one day he is going to be resurrected as Jesus was resurrected. And so that gives him hope for the future. In verse 15, Paul remains focused on his two primary tasks of promoting the Corinthians' spiritual welfare and the glory of God. That's what Paul is concerned about, the spiritual welfare of others and giving glory to God. Paul is not focused on this temporary physical world. He is heaven-minded. So in verse 16, as a concluding thought, Paul repeats his phrasing from verse 1. We do not lose heart. Now, we're not supposed to lose heart, but if we're honest with ourselves, we probably have lost heart a few times in our lives. We've probably been discouraged. One of the things that stands out when I think about that phrase, do not lose heart, I was a senior in high school. I had actually won the sectional tournament. I upended the guy that had taken second in state the year before. I was feeling pretty confident. The next week at districts, I got beat in my first match because I had gotten sick all that week and I wasn't up to strength. And I just lost it. I ran out of the gym, and we were in a big city school over in Akron, and I went down the hall, and I just found an empty doorway that I could just sit there and cried my eyes out. My older brother, 3 years older, he taught me everything I knew about wrestling. He came and found me, and he just sat there, and he said, Eric, it's not your last match. You're going to wrestle in college, and I did. And so my brother was there to remind me, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. The physical stuff happens, but it's where our heart is. Where is our heart planted and being renewed day by day? Paul refuses to grow discouraged no matter his situation, even though life has taken its toll physically. Though our lives, and though our work, and though the ministry that we're involved in has a toll on our physical well-being, there are rewards. Those are inner rewards. Hard to measure those, but they're there. The renewal of our spirit through the Lord's mercy. Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. While the aging process, growing older year by year, has its challenges and different challenges for every person, Paul reminds us of body and soul. Our total existence, both the physical, mortal aspects of life and the inward, spiritual aspects of life. And that inner is the new creation we are in Christ. Now, while our outward physical appearance may be the focus of the world, the Bible teaches us to think otherwise. When studying the life of David in the Connection Sunday School class this summer, I was reminded of the situation surrounding David being anointed as the next king. As Jesse brought his oldest sons before Samuel for consideration to be the next king, 1 Samuel 16:6 says, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. And then he says, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And Paul understood that. And Paul wasn't concerned about the physical. He was more focused in on the state of a person's heart. The Lord looks at the heart. We always need to keep that biblical truth in mind. And as we read 2 Corinthians 4:17, our light and momentary troubles. I could ask a whole bunch of you about your light and momentary troubles that have gone on for weeks and months and years. But Paul says our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Light and momentary troubles. I wonder what you're thinking about that in relationship to your own life right now. Is that really how Paul wants to describe the difficulties and challenges of light, of life, light and momentary? Did Paul ever really know any trials, any real trials? His readers might be thinking, well, Paul, your affliction might be light, but mine isn't. If you only knew how I am suffering, you wouldn't be describing it as light and momentary. Does Paul know what he's talking about? Paul writes about his sufferings in 2 Corinthians 11:24. And this is just his physical sufferings. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have gotten often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and I have been naked. Does Paul know what it means to struggle in this world? He does. He does. He knows what it means to be afflicted, to suffer. And yet Paul still describes them as light and momentary. What does he mean? Even the worst, or even the length of our difficult challenges, they're light and momentary in comparison to eternity. Comparison. Romans 8:18, Paul writes, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. 1 Corinthians 1:5, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Paul knew and knows that hope. And he held on to that through all the difficulties he went through. And he was able to have that positive heart, that positive attitude through his trust and belief in Jesus. So, therefore, because of this, we are to always strive to live by faith, to not let the aches and the realities of growing older be your daily focus. We are to always be preparing for eternity, to pray for God's strength and God's peace, and to see beyond today or the next hour or even the next minute. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? Are you planted in this world or in the world to come? Paul points us to the world to come, recognizing that we live in the tension of the world, the already versus the not yet. Romans 8:24, Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Every time I offer a prayer with a senior citizen, whatever a senior citizen might be in today's world, I pray for patience and endurance. Patient endurance is what Paul wants us to have in our hearts. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Now. I want to bold the word now, and I want to bold the word then. Now we see, but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. If you pay attention to what Paul is writing, he's aware of the world, but he's always pointing us to the then, when we will be fully known in God's loving embrace. In Colossians 3:1, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. It's one of the realities of earthly things. As you grow older, you want to kind of hang on to your memories at time, and some of those are associated with earthly things. But there's that time when you have to let those go. And I've walked that journey with a few folks, relatives and friends, and they find out that the earthly thing, if it's gone, they still have the memory. And they still have the love of that person or that event or where they got that earthly thing. Because our minds are shifting to the things above. So meditate. Pray. Journal. I mean, Paul was journaling. He was writing letters of what he was experiencing and what he was thinking, and he was sending them to others, to churches and individuals. So journal. Maybe you can write something that has encouraged you, and you'll come across it 10 years down the road. Or maybe you have witnessed somebody else, and they need some encouragement, and you write them a letter. And if they're like my mother or my grandmother, they kept every single letter they ever received. And I have a sister that's going through all of those. And she periodically sets one aside and sends it to me. Spend time remembering. Remember what you've done and who you've met and who you've loved and what you've accomplished. Remember, no matter what age. And thank God for those memories. Consider what is to come. And it's that contrast. The temporal, the non-essential, and the age to come is eternal, to last forever. So as we endure the challenges of life, we place our heart in God's loving hands. Let's pray. Lord, such a time, such a lesson doesn't always sink in because we are living in the world. We enjoy our lives. We enjoy what we are able to do through what you have provided and the talents you've given us, the work and the fun. We enjoy. We want to have that time with others. And yet we thank you for the message of Paul to place our hearts in heaven with you, to have that hope and the promise that whatever troubles we endure, they will come to an end. And we will have that salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that hope and that peace and that patient endurance. So we give you thanks for your walking with us and as we walk with you. In Christ we pray. Amen. Let's pray. God, as we take this time to offer not only our offerings and our tithes, but ourselves to you, we pray that your Spirit would interact with our minds and that we would continue to find ways to serve you, both in the church and in the communities we live, that we would share the goodness of you. So we pray for the blessing of these offerings and those that have given. In Christ we pray. Amen. I invite our ushers forward. On this fourth Sunday of the month, I invite our ushers to return for our second offering to go towards our Imagine Your Faith Capital campaign, Imagine Your Faith Building Capital campaign. We're still waiting on the architects to finalize some specifications before they will send out the packet of information to general contractors. But what I did want to share with you is I had some conversations this summer with some individuals from other churches beyond this area. And one of them was very grateful that on a Sunday in June, they had a capital fund drive and they raised $1 million. And they used that to pay down the debt on their church building. Last week, we visited a church in Toledo. I had a conversation with a person there. And over the summer, they have raised $3 million to pay down the debt on their building. A lot of interest charges there. We are blessed through the faithfulness of the Lord and generous donors, and you, who are also generous donors, I didn't mean to separate that out. It's taken a while to get this project off the ground, but by the end, we will have no debt to be paying down. And that is a tremendous blessing. And so we give praise to the faithfulness of God working through you, the congregation. Thank you.
Please rise if you are able. And let us sing our closing hymn. And it just occurred to me, O Jesus, I have promised is the title. It is a prayer. So not only let us sing our closing hymn, number 369, but let us pray our closing hymn. Remain standing, please, for the spoken benediction, and then we will have a benediction and song where we ask God's blessing to all of us. It's number 602, God be with you. So let us sing and pray our closing hymn, O Jesus, I have promised.
Thank you.
faith and filled by the Holy Spirit, may you walk forth in the steps of Jesus Christ, your Lord, sharing his love with others. Amen.